Over the next 2 weeks, I want to spend some time with the metaphor that Jesus introduces to us in John chapter 10, this idea that Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, there's different ways that we can explore scripture, though I would encourage you to get your Bibles out and turn to John chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 1 through 18 in a moment. And then, well, when it comes to metaphors, there's different ways we can approach them. Sometimes, and it can be very appropriate to do it this way, we basically dissect them, kind of like you put a frog on the table. Maybe you did in high school, you examine all the parts and you learn something about the frog, and that is a good thing. Sometimes it's also just good to play with the frog. And so that's what we're going to do over these next 2 weeks, is play with and do some storytelling through the metaphor of Jesus as the good shepherd in John chapter 10. Now, I'll be doing this as a storytelling sermon in two parts. So I'm just going to tell you, one, we don't do storytelling sermons all the time. So if you're like, that's different, we don't do it all the time, just so you're aware of that. Secondly, it's a two-part story. So I'm telling you right now, in advance, you're not going to like how the first half of the story ends. So if I'm doing my job in about 20 minutes, you're going to really hate me. But I hope it'll also urge you to continue to read, continue to spend some time in John chapter 10, and also come back next week for the conclusion of the story, okay? Well, I'd like to invite our youngest daughter, Elizabeth Vance, as of about 6 weeks ago. Is it 6 weeks? 5 weeks? Okay. It's so fun to have Elizabeth and Max with us this week. And did you enjoy the cello?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Come to church, you're like, should we have a cello choir or an accordion choir? The cello choir is, I like the cello choir. Let's go with the cello. Cellos are good. Okay. Well, because it's God's word and because we're hearing the gospel together, let's stand as, if you're able, as God's word is read.
All right, this is John 10, 1 through 18. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I may bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father."
Please have a seat. I forgot to mention this part earlier, just before we dive into the story. Because it's a storytelling sermon, we're telling the story together, which means if there is a point in the story where it seems appropriate for a sound effect, I need you to make it. Okay? So this is a story about sheep, for example. How do you feel about being sheep? Bad. That's right. There we go. Okay. The shepherd looked condescendingly at this yearling lamb who was shaking. He looked into his eyes and said, "Don't be upset, Fluffy. This is a very honorable way to die." Well, Penny, who is also a yearling lamb about 3 months younger than her friend Rambo, wasn't so certain that this was such a good thing. Now, Rambo was the perfect specimen of a sheep. He had strong legs and absolutely no spots on him at all. And she watched as Rambo was led out of the paddock where she and the other sheep were, and was led across into the temple by the temple shepherds. She knew. I mean, she was only a sheep, but she knew what was going to be happening pretty soon. That was the first time in her life that she was actually a little bit grateful for the fact that she was born with a bit of a funny leg. Her right front leg just didn't quite work right. The other sheep would make fun of her. You know how sheep sometimes are that way? When they're, yeah, they do that. They're just, some of them are kind of mean and no, and stuff. But so she was a little bit grateful that she actually had a defect. And so they waited there in the paddock. In mid-afternoon, about 3 o'clock by our clocks, as it was not long before the sun would set, things in the marketplace got a little bit more quiet. You could see people making their way into the temple for the evening prayers. And she watched, and she thought about her friend Rambo. Sure enough, that day, like every day, about 3 o'clock, things grew a little still. She could hear the prayers begin, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And then they moved into, and they started to, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. These words wafting through the courtyard. People stood as they prayed a psalm together. And then things got quiet for a moment. And she heard the words very softly from a distance. She couldn't see what was actually happening, but she heard the words Shalem, which is Hebrew for it is finished. And all she could see was what she knew was happening on the other side of that courtyard, on the other side of the screen, the thing that nobody but the priest and her friend Rambo would see, as his throat was slit and his blood poured out, and when his body stopped twitching, the words Shalem, it is finished. It's tough being a sheep. So obviously she was pretty upset the rest of the day. And then later the next morning, the same shepherd that she had been with for all these months, ever since she was just born, came up to her and said again, kind of in a condescending little voice, "Well, Gimpy, I found you a new shepherd. This idiot, he paid full price for you. I can't imagine why." And, well, She was pretty hesitant at first, as one might imagine, just going from one shepherd to the next, because what if this new shepherd is as awful as the old one? You know, just treating you like you're a commodity. I mean, she knew she was a sheep, but to just be a commodity, to just be bought and sold and discarded. Well, the other shepherd came along, and he bent down and said, "Oh, dear one, you're coming with me." But she couldn't even look up. She didn't even know what he looked like. Her face was just looking down at the ground, and she was shaking. She was so scared. "Okay, dear one, it's all right. Come with me." And he led her off to a different pen, to a different flock. She had to meet all the other people there. It was very, very strange. All the other sheep, all the other nearly yearling lambs. The next morning, the shepherd, he started to do what he would do every single morning. He would say, "Come, sheep." And then she would see as the rest of the flock, they would kind of get excited and they would head out of the paddock and they would follow the shepherd off and up into the hills. And, well, Penny, because she was nervous about this whole thing, she would just stay in the back, the very, very back of the flock, sitting in the very back of the flock. And then that way you know that there's a little bit of a buffer around you if anything bad happens to a sheep. And she's just waiting in the back, and she would follow along. And sure enough, the shepherd would lead them up and into the green fields. But she stayed in the back the entire time, of course, which meant that by the time she got to the grass, it was all trampled down. It had hoof prints in it everywhere, and the sheep at the front, their hygiene was not always so great, so the grass was not very tasty. But that's what she did. She stayed in the back of the pack, stayed in the back of the flock. And at the end of the day, the shepherd would say, "Come, sheep," and they would make their way back towards town, back to the safety of the paddock at night. And in the morning, "Come, sheep," and they would go out again. This went on for several days, and Penny, just trying to keep herself safe, she just stayed in the back, and she got used to the taste of trampled grass, and she figured this was better than, well, what could have been. Now, in this story, Jesus introduces the metaphor of the shepherd, him being the good shepherd. And it includes this line from John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Let's read them out loud together. "He calls his own sheep and by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." This idea that the shepherd knows his sheep by name. Now, one of the things that should bother us about John chapter 10 is that Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, and then he goes on to describe some things that shepherds do not do. Now, there's some things that shepherds absolutely do. They lead their flocks. They go in front of the flocks. The sheep really, if you've ever been to a Middle Eastern or seen a Middle Eastern shepherd, the sheep really do know the voice of the shepherd. Yet Jesus claims to do some things that that a shepherd probably would not do or know. Things like knowing the name of the sheep. Now, actually, on the live stream, Linda Strand, she and her husband are ranchers in Ellensburg. And Linda, I didn't ask permission for this, so now I owe you $20, which is the family penalty for an unauthorized sermon include. But she and her husband are cattle ranchers in Ellensburg. What do you think are the odds that they know all their cows by name? Probably not. Right? Can we turn, my mic is super loud. Could we turn it down just the tiniest little bit? It's very, very unlikely that any cattle rancher is going to know all of their cattle by name because cows don't have names unless we give it to them, right? Sheep don't have names unless we give them names, right? And here Jesus is saying he knows his sheep by name. And his sheep will hear his voice and respond to his voice. And so what I wanted to spend just a moment thinking about before we move on in the story is this promise that Jesus tells us that we can actually hear his voice. We can actually hear his voice. Now, of course, we hear God's voice most clearly through God's word. That's the timeless word of God. But Jesus has also identified himself as the word of God. He's the living word of God. That Jesus has something to say to not just all of us, but each of us. Like something specific that he wants you to know, and you to know, and you to know, and you to know. He has something for each of us, as well as for all of us. And so what I wanted to challenge us with, as we're spending a couple of weeks just thinking about Jesus the Good Shepherd, Jesus the one who knows his sheep by name, Jesus the one whose sheep hear his voice, is what would it be like if you heard his voice? Now imagine if we took enough time, we could share stories of times where we felt like we were being led by God. There's been a few times in my life where it all but felt like an audible voice speaking to me. And the scriptures seem to suggest that experience of hearing God's voice, God's personal word to you, in addition to the timeless truth that we find in the word of God for all of us, but that personal word, the one that's consistent with the timeless word, the one that's consistent with the corporate word, but that personal word is something that we can hear if we're willing to hear, if we're open to hearing it. And I thought that in this summer season where, and I realize this isn't maybe true for all of us all the time, but this summer season in general, summer tends to be a time where there's just a little bit more flexibility, right? I hope you get some time in a hammock or some time on a beach or some time on a campground or some time on your back porch or just even some time in the morning with a cup of coffee, and there's some time. And I want to challenge you to think about, in those moments, what do you fill them with? One of the wonderful things and horrible things about our time is we have a tremendous, endless potential for distraction if we want it. I mean, almost every television show ever invented, ever existing, is right there in your pocket all the time. Every book you've ever read, every bit of gossip, every bit of anything that you would ever find interesting or distracting, you can find it on you all the time. And this isn't me trying to necessarily speak ill of technology. I believe technology itself is neutral, but. We've got to be enormously careful about the power of these tools of distraction. What would it be like if this week if you took time to just listen for the voice of the shepherd. That 15 minutes in the morning, before all the rush of the day, and then you've turned your phone off, you've turned your notifications off, or you've just flipped it over and you've ignored it, you put it in a drawer, the television is off, and you allow things to be still, and you just listen for the voice of the shepherd. So I want to invite us to pray a prayer together, and at the same time, we're each praying a prayer individually, and then let this be a prayer that guides us through this week. And next week, we'll actually have some opportunity. I'm going to be given opportunity for people to share what they hear. Here's the prayer. Jesus, I'm listening. Jesus, I'm listening. What if God has something to say to you? Would you want to hear it? Jesus, I'm listening. What if God's word is true? And I believe it is. And the shepherd knows his sheep by name, and the sheep can hear the shepherd's voice. Jesus, I'm listening. What if we opted to put aside the distractions, allow ourselves to get still? Jesus, I'm listening. Would you take a moment and pray with me? I dare you to pray that prayer. And I'll give a moment just for stillness this morning. But I hope more than that this would be an invitation for moments of stillness this week. Read John chapter 10. Think about Jesus the shepherd and you the sheep. And the shepherd knows his sheep by name. And the sheep follow because they know his voice. Would you bow your heads with me? Jesus, I'm listening. Jesus, we're listening. Lord, thank you that you not only have something to say to all of us, you also have something to say to each of us. Lord, please forgive us when we're distracted. Lord, please forgive us when we take our eyes off of you. And Lord, thank you that you know each of us and all of us by name. Lord, help us to hear your voice this week. And friend, I just invite you under your breath to is to pray. Pray that. I dare you to pray that prayer. And let that be a prayer that takes you into the week. Jesus, I'm listening. Amen. So several days went by, and Penny had been standing in the back of the flock, getting used to the taste of trampled grass, playing it safe. When one morning, just before the thing that she had now come to expect, the voice of the shepherd saying, "Come, sheep," she heard something new. She heard the voice of the shepherd. And he leaned over and said, "Hey, Penny, why don't you come up to the front today?" Her first thought, of course, was, "How does he know my name?" The second thought was, "Maybe I'll give it a try." So this time, as the words, "Hey, sheep," were spoken and the flock moved out, she didn't just linger in the back. She didn't just munch on the trampled grass. She came up further to the front where she could see where they were going. And they made their way up the hill. And then past one familiar field and into a new one. And this one, ha ha, this one had clover. She'd never tasted white clover before, but I'm telling you, it was good. As she's munching on clover all day long, she's just savoring the taste of it, thinking, "My shepherd is so good. He leads me to green pastures. This is so good." So she spent all day in the clover field, enjoying and munching on the taste of the sweet little clover flowers. If you've never tried them, maybe you should. They're actually better than you think. She's munching all day long. And then towards the end of the day, she hears those familiar words again, "Come, sheep." And she thinks, "Just 5 minutes more." And then she sees this other spot where nobody has gone before. And it's absolutely fresh and it's got the biggest flowers. And she goes over there and she starts munching away. And then she hears the words again, "Come, sheep." And she thinks, "Just 5 more minutes." And then she looks over to another spot and there's more uneaten clover. And she heads over there and she starts munching on the clover. And it's so good. This is even better than the blast stuff. And she hears the words, "Come, sheep." And she thinks, "Just 5 minutes more." And she munches on a little bit more. And then she looks up. And it's dark. And the flock have left. And she thinks to herself, "I don't know the way home." And that's where we're going to pick the story up next week.